Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Seven things you don't really need to know, but probably should. I'm Ciara Revan, and this is the Sunday Seven.
On this week's episode of the award-winning Sunday 7, we get some good advice on this week's solar eclipse. We find out what Amazon were up to with the Amazon Fresh stores, discover the secret of Taiwan's skyscraper, and hear about the rollout of artificial pancreases across the nation. But first, on this day in 1923, the first operation conducted using only local anaesthetic took place in the Beth Israel Hospital in New York City. Dr. Carl Winfield Ney removed a brain tumor from the patient Henry A. Brown, who remained conscious during the procedure as his skull was opened. The operation was a success. The tumor turned out to be benign, and the local anesthetic that they used, well, that was cocaine. This week sees a major solar eclipse about to happen. It's so major that if you Google solar eclipse 2024, you'll get a special little Google animation. It's a relatively rare total solar eclipse across Mexico, the United States and Canada, and the next one isn't due until 2044. You may remember the 2017 eclipse, which famously saw then-President Donald Trump stare directly at the sun, something that all experts recommend you don't do. This eclipse will pass over 31 million people, leaving them briefly in near total darkness. For us in the UK, it'll be a partial eclipse and is due to take place around 5 to 8 on Monday evening. NASA have been busy providing information and expertise on the eclipse across social media.
A total solar eclipse happens when the moon passes between the sun and the earth, blocking the bright face of the sun and revealing the sun's outer atmosphere, the corona. People along this path, which includes Mexico, Texas up to Maine, and into Canada, will experience totality, which is when the moon completely covers the sun. And 99% of the US population will see at least a partial solar eclipse, when the moon blocks part of the sun. When watching the eclipse, you must wear solar viewing or eclipse glasses when the bright face of the sun isn't fully blocked. Those of you in the path of totality are in luck. You can remove your glasses, but only when the moon has totally blocked the sun.
The US Surgeon General Dr. Vivek Murthy has been campaigning to raise awareness of what he calls an epidemic of loneliness and isolation in the United States, and he took the opportunity of the impending eclipse to make a suggestion that Americans use the experience to come together.
The sun is a universal source of light and life. It contributes to our physical, mental, and emotional well-being, and it unites all of us. Today, no matter where you're watching from, whether it's along the path of totality or a partial solar eclipse, you are sharing the experience with millions across the nation. And moments of connectedness like this truly matter. Last year, I issued a Surgeon General's advisory warning about the public health crisis posed by loneliness and isolation. I shared that our connection with one another is a powerful force that can help protect against the damaging physical and mental health impacts of loneliness. What better reason is there to come together with friends and loved ones than to share a once-in-a-generation experience like this solar eclipse? This is an experience that will stay with you precisely because of the awe that it inspires. Awe allows us to step outside of ourselves, giving us fresh perspective and opening us up to connections.
Way back in 2021, Amazon made a huge splash as they opened their first store in the UK. It was a modern marvel called Amazon Fresh, and the idea was that you would walk in, pick up whatever you wanted, and it would automatically be charged to your Amazon account. No need to pay at the till. A frictionless modern miracle. But it turns out things mightn't have been quite how they seemed. Whenever big tech messes up, there's only one man we trust to clean up on aisle 6, and that's the Smart 7's tech guru, Will Guyatt. So, Will, tell us what we found out this week about Amazon Fresh.
A couple of years back, Amazon launched a small number of supermarkets with this so-called Just Walk Out technology, AI cameras that tracked you around the shop and charged you on your exit for your Mars bar and double Red Bull lunch. The idea was fewer shop staff on site and zero checkouts. Fast forward a few years and Amazon revealed this week it was effectively scrapping the technology in most of its stores, while revealing in a report that there were actually 1,000 actual real-life human beings watching the cameras in an office in India.
Was the whole thing a fraud?
Well, it's too early to call this a total fraud, but it's definitely not a good look. For some, they've obviously done something very wrong here and pretended this is artificial intelligence. But for those closer to AI, they claim these people were checking shoppers actually had a Mars bar rather than a Yorkie and a Red Bull rather than a can of lager. This was all about checking the results of the cameras. The US website The Information broke more news on this story and had said that Amazon used humans in almost 70% of all transactions in these stores, way above their internal target of just 5%. Now, of course, Amazon challenged that, but they haven't provided any real-world data or indication on just how well they thought these cameras should perform.
So what are they going to do now?
Don't expect Amazon stores to suddenly be full of human beings and the arrival of tills. Instead, they plan to implement what they call dash carts. This includes scanners and screens embedded into your shopping trolley so customers can scan products as they go. And they also say they're continuing to develop this just walk out tech, focusing on its smaller stores and a growing number of third-party licenses that Amazon say they now have for the tech.
Does this raise questions about other big tech AI innovations?
This has the potential to be hugely damaging for the tech industry. Even if you charitably come to the conclusion that the 1,000 people were helping improve the AI by checking the quality of its data and not hoodwinking the rest of the tech world, it still reduces artificial intelligence to people behind screens, like the Wizard of Oz. And that's before you look at the fact that one of the world's richest businesses managed to replace relatively low-paid shop work with even cheaper overseas remote labour. And that is a terrible look.
And staying with AI, some big names in pop music were busy writing an open letter this week, weren't they? Who is in the Artists' Rights Alliance and what are they looking for?
Some huge music names from across the generations like Billie Eilish, Pearl Jam and Stevie Wonder have joined more than 200 other artists in writing this letter with the Artists' Rights Alliance. That's a charity that uses musicians to offer education and backs the industry as a whole. Together, they're demanding that AI developers, technology companies, platforms and digital music services cease the use of artificial intelligence to infringe upon and devalue the rights of human artists. It's a wide-reaching letter that suggests the music industry has the potential to replace human talent with AI in the next few years, but doesn't really point a finger at any particular move. Let's wait to see what they say next.
Still to come on the Sunday 7, the NHS gets set to roll out artificial pancreas to diabetes sufferers and the secret behind Taiwan's 101-floor skyscraper. There was good news this week for tens of thousands of people with type 1 diabetes across the UK. The disease affects about 300,000 people across the UK, with almost 10% of them children. And management of the condition requires close monitoring of the levels of sugar or glucose in the blood. And if levels are off, they'll need to administer insulin through injections or a pump. However, with the introduction of a new device called an artificial pancreas, a lot of management of the condition can be handed over to technology. Lee Watson is a patient who had used an early prototype of the tech, and he explained to Sky News how it works.
There are three components, and all three components need to be wirelessly connected. This is an insulin pump. This is a continuous glucose monitor. This is the app, a very clear interface. The biggest benefit that I can see is the mental load of handling type 1 diabetes with systems like this is just reduced tremendously.
Local NHS services have begun a rollout of the devices, but they estimate it could take 5 years before everyone eligible gets one, as they need to acquire sufficient numbers of the device and train staff in how to use them. Angie Abbott and her daughter Charlotte were involved in the early trial of the system. Both suffer from type 1 diabetes, and the fact that the artificial pancreas allows Angie to monitor her daughter's insulin levels remotely has been a huge difference.
It means that you're not having to constantly, every second of every day, worry what's going on. Because by having that better control, it's better health in general, and it's cutting down the complications that come with diabetes as well.
I don't have to do injections for every time I want to eat, and I don't have to finger prick every time I want to eat too, because I have to finger prick and then I have to see how much insulin I need.
So she can go play dates, or when she's in school, she's able to do that now because I can see what's happening from my sofa.
Four,
This week saw Taiwan rocked by the biggest earthquake it's experienced in 25 years. The quake, which measured 7.4 in the Richter scale, also triggered tsunami warnings in Japan and the Philippines. At least 10 people were killed, with over 1,000 injured, and dramatic footage on social media of the damage to buildings in the eastern city of Hualien. Social media was also full of dramatic videos of buildings shaking and nurses in maternity wards scrambling to keep babies in incubators safe. One of Taiwan's largest buildings is the Taipei 101 Tower, which stands at 1,670 feet tall and has an unusual system installed to protect it even in the event of earthquakes. It has a 730-ton steel ball which is suspended between floors near the top of the building and serves as a motion damper to reduce sway in the skyscraper during national disasters like typhoons or, in this case, an earthquake. The team at Interesting Engineering explain how this mechanical marvel works.
One of the world's largest tuned mass damper battles deadly winds in silence between the 88th and 92nd stories. The 730-ton gold-colored orb swings gently back and forth, counteracting wind forces. But how exactly does this damper work? The pendulum is intended to swing back and forth in response to building movement, counteracting forces that would otherwise cause the building to sway or oscillate. The pendulum is also outfitted with a number of sensors that detect building movement and adjust the pendulum's movement accordingly. The pendulum is an example of a passive damping system, which means it operates without any external power or control. It is powered by the natural movement of the building and the forces of gravity. The Taipei 101 Tower is the first skyscraper to use a pendulum for structural damping. The room-sized device can move 5 feet or a meter and a half in any direction, reducing sway by 30 to 40%.
Still to come on the Sunday 7, NASA celebrates DART's success and new dementia trials underway.
Right after this.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Welcome back.
Back in September 2022, NASA completed a daring mission as they smashed a DART into asteroid Dimorphos. The DART in question stands for Double Asteroid Redirection Test, and the intention was to see if it was possible to alter the course of potentially Earth-threatening asteroids in the future. The good news is that it looks like it worked, and a new study published in the Planetary Science Journal says the impact changed not just the orbit of the asteroid, but also its shape. Professor Brian Cox, who is the Royal Society Professor for Public Engagement and Science, explains what the thinking behind the mission was.
Occasionally big pieces of rock hit the Earth, and occasionally those big pieces of rock are big enough to cause mass devastation. What we do now is we look for them quite sensibly. So we map the orbits of the big asteroids. We've got most of them, we think. What you need to do is nudge it a bit so it doesn't hit the Earth. And the DART mission was the first mission designed to make sure that if we really want to hit an asteroid with something, then we can do it. And it's hard. And so we did it. It was a very clever mission because it's a double asteroid system. So that one of them was hit. So there's two of them going around each other. And we hit one of them. And that means that you can measure the orbit afterwards of these two things orbiting around each other to see how much we deflected it. So it's a smart thing to do.
One million people in the UK are living with dementia, and that number is expected to almost double by 2040. And with dementia already the leading cause of death in the UK, it's a disease that needs urgent attention. The only way to formally diagnose dementia currently involves a combination of mental ability tests, brain scans and painful lumbar punctures, which has led to a four-year waiting list for formal diagnosis. So there's a couple of new initiatives which are aiming to provide quicker and earlier diagnosis in the hopes that they may enable early introduction detection of new drugs that appear to have a positive impact, particularly on Alzheimer's. There's a new trial underway which aims to see which of two new simple blood tests is the most effective in identifying symptoms. Teams from the University of London and from Oxford University are aiming to test 5,000 people over the next 5 years. And Dr. Vanessa Raymond, a neuroscientist at Oxford, explains what they're hoping to find.
We're at a really exciting time in terms of research around dementia. I mean, we know a lot more now about how we can manage certain risk factors that could increase your risk of dementia developing. But really importantly, we're on the cusp of getting new drugs that could actually modify the course of Alzheimer's disease, which is the commonest cause of dementia. So it's more important than ever that we're able to give accurate diagnoses to as many people as possible.
There are other developments too, with a new US-based smartphone app that's intended to help detect early symptoms of frontotemporal dementia, or FTD. Dr. Adam Strafferoni is a clinical neuropsychologist and associate professor at the University of California in San Francisco, and he explains what the app is hoping to do.
One of the common features of FTD is difficulty with this executive functioning. And so the company that we've been working with has developed a number of different tests that look at executive functioning, and we can do it on the smartphone. And this is, I think, really helpful for a number of reasons. Currently, we're limited to bringing people in person for our research studies and our clinical trials. But given that this is a rare disease, we need to bring in people from really all around the country and all around the world into these studies. So having something that we could do in their home would be useful. I think the behavior and the movement symptoms of this condition also make it difficult for people to get to the clinic. So the more we can do to bring this to people's homes, I think the more inclusive we can be in our studies. There are gamified versions of things that we've been doing in the clinic for many years. So asking people to inhibit one of the responses that they may want to do, respond quickly to a number of tests, do some problem solving on the phone as well. These are all the types of things that we're testing.
There was good news this week for Francois Langer fans. It does sound like a name of a French footballer, but in fact, it's an endangered species, also known as the Francois leaf monkey. They're a visually striking primate with hair that grows into long, distinctive white sideburns, and there are believed to be only about 2,000 left in the wild in Vietnam and China. So, Twycross Zoo was delighted to announce the birth of a new infant, adding one more member to its troop of 8 at the conservation charity. Kelly Salisbury is the primate keeper at the zoo, and she was delighted to welcome their newest resident.
We have had a baby Francois Langer born. That is so important because, unfortunately, Francois Langers are endangered in the wild. There's around less than 2,000 of them existing out in their native countries of Vietnam and China. And so every single birth is really important to the conservation of this species. Babies settling in, absolutely fantastic. All of the girls within the group will help to look after the baby. So it's got lots of care and lots of attention. Visitors can see the baby right now. Baby Francois Langers are born bright orange to help their family look and find where they are in the wild. So many of the species that we have at Twycross Zoo are endangered or critically endangered, and we take part in breeding programs at a European level, and so we help to contribute to international conservation efforts.
This has been the Sunday 7. Wherever you're listening, do us a favour and hit the follow button. We'll be back tomorrow at 7 a.m. with the regular Smart 7. Have a great rest of your weekend.
Written, produced and published by Daph Doris.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up Quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's Quince.com/upgrade.